This is the Wave Maker, Kyle Boone.
And this is Shiloh.
And you're listening to WrestleLife Radio.
Because you're smart and cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WrestleLife Radio. My name is Matt Sin. And this is, as you all know, Indie Focus. Indie Focus is the show where we sit down and we talk to someone who is working or has worked in independent wrestling and we learn more about them. Hashtag support indie wrestling. And today, we're sitting here with the man who might have the greatest name in all the names in all the history of professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, the strongest man in all the land, Arthur MacArthur.
How's it going, man? Hey, nice to meet y'all.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, man. Nice to talk to you. So I have to ask, like, MacArthur, are you Scottish, or how'd you come up with that name?
It's actually a funny story about the name. I'm obviously, for those who don't know, and maybe just learning about me for the first time, my gimmick is obviously like a circus strongman type deal.
So good.
And he's very, you know, vintage. When I was doing research for this character, because it was suggested to me, I dug deep into these old school strongmen, and the first one I ever saw was Arthur Saxon. And yeah. I like the name Arthur. You know, I was really playing Red Dead Redemption 2 at the time, so I was
a great game.
Absolutely, I was big into Arthur Morgan, of course. And then yeah. I had to come up with the last name because you know you really can't do a singular name type deal when you're just starting off, and
right.
And you know, no one can't be like Walter or something. So
right,
the last name came from a former wrestler student from our school at AIW, because I was saying, I'm trying to think of a last name, you know, for Arthur. And he's like, Arthur MacArthur. And I'm like, wait a minute. And
great. So yeah, good.
For sure. And, you know, you Google that name, and it's actually, there's been other prominent Arthur MacArthurs in history. So if you ever Google me, you have to put Arthur MacArthur and wrestling, which is really funny, but because there's like a music producer. And there's like a general
officer. That's who I found.
Yeah, it's
he's a U.S. Army general. Like I googled the name, and I'm like, this is not the Arthur MacArthur I'm looking for.
Yeah, for sure, it's tricky, but yeah, that's pretty much how it came to be, and it just stuck. And you know, you gotta think there's not too many people out there in the indie scene with either Arthur or MacArthur, so it just worked.
That's awesome. That's really great. Now, so what we usually do is before we get into the wrestling stuff, I'll ask you a little bit about yourself, but I had to know about the name immediately. I couldn't wait any longer.
Oh, so, sure.
But let's tell me a little bit about yourself, man. What do you like to do in your free time? I assume you like to play video games if you've been playing Red Dead.
Yeah, for sure. You know, as of late, you know, because I got PS4, you know, I'm still waiting for that PS5 to be back in stock. So
yeah,
I've been playing a little bit of the Zombie Army Dead War, whatever, the one that just got released for PlayStation Plus, and okay. I've been doing that in my spare time when I've got nothing going on. You know, obviously I like to, you know, lift weights, you know, try and keep the strength up, and you know, train whenever I can in an open ring. Whenever I got my free time, you know, I like to go out to these shows. Like tomorrow I'm heading to a show. I'm actually not on technically, but I'm just going to support some of my friends, maybe make some awesome connections.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, you know, kind of the stuff I do in my spare time right now. I just started a new job, which I'll be doing Sunday. And
okay.
We'll go from there.
That's great, man. That's great. So how long have you actually been doing this?
Not as long as some people think, you know. It's funny because I was actually doing a podcast the other day, and they captioned it like, oh, a true indie legend. I'm like, I don't know about that, man.
So much for the kind words, but
yeah, I've been doing this. It'll be 2 years this coming May. So yeah.
Okay. So you're still kind of new, man.
No, absolutely. It's yeah. I'm. I wouldn't say I'm a greenhorn, but I'm still, you know, in my learning phases of my career. So
gotcha. So what, like, what prompted you to want to live this lifestyle and become a professional wrestler?
You know, I've always been a fan growing up.
Yep.
I grew up on the Attitude Era, you know, a little bit of the Ruthless Aggression, you know, was always a fan throughout grade school, elementary school, always had the dream of, you know, I want to do that someday
yeah.
and be larger than life. you know, obviously, and around here, we didn't really have a school or a, well, we did, but there wasn't really one around where I'm at until so I'm a veteran Army, and I did that for a few years, and I came back trying to, you know, find my place in regular society again. And I saw that good old AIW had a school. So, you know, I nudged, saw what it was all about. And, you know, the more and more I was involved, paying the dues, to, you know, setting up these shows, I just fell in love with it more and realized this is what I want to do, you know, be an active performer. And been loving it ever since. So it's definitely the right decision for me, you know.
And AIW, and forgive me because I'm still trying to learn a lot about indie wrestling. That's in Ohio, is that right? That's
Cleveland, Ohio. Absolute right. Intense wrestling.
We're learning. Awesome. That's cool. So, how long did you serve in the military?
4 years. Cool. Yeah, it wasn't a long. I wanted to make it a career originally, and I'm like, Nah, this ain't for me. This sucks. To put it lightly.
This sounds like my grandfather. Like, he did one tour in the Army. Now, this was, you know, 60 years ago, so I'm sure it was very different. But he did one tour in the Army, and he loved it. And my grandma said, I want to go home. And, of course, being the amazing husband he always has been, he said, whatever you say, honey. And so they went home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. So you said you watched a lot of wrestling growing up, Attitude and Ruthless Aggression. So tell me who some of your favorites were.
For sure, man. Obviously, I'd say, you know, growing up early, the number one for me was obviously, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, he was kind of the anti-hero we all needed back in those times, you know, right. Sticking it up to authority, just always hilarious. And I always envisioned myself in him, you know, especially as a child, which may or may not have been the best thing, but, you know, it was what it was. You got guys like The Rock, who are just, he's larger than life, charismatic, you know, didn't really appreciate at the time of how great he truly was, you know, looking back. And the guy was just seamless in his charisma. And, you know, Mick Foley as well, you know, that was like the latter portion of his career, you know, coming to realize, but it was, he was just so great at character development and just, you know, putting his body through hell to entertain us. And I feel like sometimes he doesn't get his credit where credit was due. It got a little overshadowed in that time period, but yeah, Mick Foley for sure. And going into Ruthless Aggression, you know, a lot of the star power from the Attitude Era kind of, went away a little bit, but you know, I really like Brock Lesnar's first run, you know, really impressive out the gate, had a, you know, one of the better Mania matches with Kurt Angle, you know, obviously Kurt Angle as well, one of those guys you just love to hate, flawless in-ring ability, you know, I'd say every young wrestler who wants to, you know, have that wrestling background needs to study this guy in all facets. So good. Absolutely. And from the, you know, you had RVD as well, you know, really high flying, you know, the dude was just a freak, and I'm glad to see he got his Hall of Fame nod. He rightfully deserved that one.
Absolutely. He does. Well, that's cool, dude. That's cool. So you left the Army. Yep. And you decided I want to be a professional wrestler, and AIW is, you know, they definitely have made a name for themselves.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And so you train in AIW, and you have your very first match in front of a crowd. I want you to tell me how that went.
Okay, so I had like a pre-show match once, but I think it's better to talk about the like official debut, like kind of like the graduation match per se.
Yeah.
First match ever was AIW in May of 2019. It was a four-way between me and three other students who had just, quote unquote, graduated. Mikey Montgomery and Eric Taylor, who are now the Bitcoin Boys, really tearing it up on the tag team scene around
so
here.
So good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know those Bitcoin Boys. then you got good old Chuck Stone, who I tag with here and there as well. You know, we had our little four way. We had rehearsed this match a bunch, and, you know, we wanted to, you know, the school's goal was to make this something that people can watch, you know, it's available on YouTube, but maybe you saw it. I don't know. yeah, it was our first match. We doing all these like intricate things, and this crowd was hot. You know, it was one of those, it was probably one of the better days of my life, I'd say. It felt like the culmination of everything I had worked for, the dreams and everything. It came true that night. And looking back at it now, I would still, you know, to this day, show it off. Like, you know, some people, you know, I have a lot of, you know, early matches. Like, I think we were talking before this. You found one of my old matches. When you look up my name on YouTube, it's me and Eric Taylor. That was actually before that debut, which is funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, we were wrestling. So we did like a ring rental for this this company that's close to Cleveland. And they wanted to do these shows, you know, in front of a smoke shop. It was like in the Sandusky area. And they're like, all right, we'll let these guys get a rep in, you know, do their thing.
Yeah.
And I do, and we do it. I do this and he's like, hey, can I bill you as the Sandusky Strongman? I'm like, if I would have done it now, I would have said no.
Yeah.
But at the time I thought, eh, why not? It'll be funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like I said, that match right there was a really fun one. You know, I could pick the mistakes just from watching it now, but it's still a real fun time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things, it must have come down. Like, it was raining. Like, it almost looks like during this match, but definitely before the match. And you had a line, and you probably don't even remember it. But as you got in the ring, you said, ah, this ring is wet. And I don't know why, but I laughed so hard as I'm sitting here watching this, and it almost reminded me of like a Santina Marella bit or something like that. Where you just delivered the line so well, and it was so natural and obviously unplanned. Like, it was just so good, man. I loved it.
Sweet. You know, it's that it was drizzling that day, and I never in my life would have imagined wrestling outdoors in like drizzling rain. And yeah, it affects the canvas, of course. It's damp. Yeah. It was awkward. It was cold. So obviously there was a couple chops mixed in there, so those hurt even more. And it was a strange time in the wrestling career. You know, a lot of it's funny because a lot of the students at AIW kind of do one of their first a couple matches at that same event, which, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
So I just saved it to my watch later. I did not see that Fatal 4-Way. Surprisingly, I don't know why, when I searched your name, it didn't come up, but I searched your name and Eric Taylor together, and it just came up. So I'll watch it after we're done here. So that's cool. Thanks for letting me know about that.
For sure.
Yeah. So is there anything you do like to prepare for a match, like every single time, like it's part of your rituals?
Let me see here. I mean, I don't really have any like, you know, you got guys like CM Punk who will rotate his wrists all and all that stuff. You got guys who do like a bunch of Hindu squats. Honestly, man, I stretch out and warm out as I go out to the ring. You know, you kind of see it. If you watch me, you'll see me going on the ropes, flexing, doing this. I'm just like, I'm getting loose and limbered up.
Okay.
Obviously got to have my pre-show meal. I got to have I like to drink a C4 before a match to get that energy flowing and, you know, feel invincible per se.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
That's pretty much all there is to it, honestly.
Yeah. So you've only been wrestling a couple years, and I know you told me about the Fatal 4-Way match, and we talked about the match against Eric Taylor. Think back of your absolute favorite match you've ever had and tell me why it was your favorite.
Well, I've got a couple. One's a sentimental one to me. I got to have a 6-man tag with the late and great Tracy Smothers.
Yeah,
it was actually it may actually be his last match he ever had, because it was January of 2020, and that's when, you know, things were starting to turn for the worse. You know, at that point he didn't have any hair because of his chemo treatments. And we got to share the ring with him, you know, he just working with him, because we didn't really plan anything with him. He just said, listen to me and we'll have a good match, this, that. And we did so little, and it was just so fun to work with the guy. And, you know, I miss the guy every day. He was actually the match before us at that AIW debut.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Tracy Smothers was a regular in AIW at that point, you know, had a really great connection with our promoter, John Thorne.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a solid guy. You know, I miss the dude every day. As far as other like favorite matches go, let me see. I guess a recent favorite I would have would be me versus it was recently on IWTV for Southern Underground Pro. It was me and Jaden Newman.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was Southern Underground Pro has a lot of steam to it, a lot of big fan base, Southern wrestling, and this was kind of a step out of my comfort zone type deal. Like, if you watch a lot of my matches, there's a lot like on IWTV outside of YouTube, and you'll notice like I don't do a whole lot. I'm more character based, which is fine. Yeah. And working with someone in a Southern territory, they love to bring it, you know. There's right. one spot where we're just slapping each other's neck back and forth super fast, and it's like, God, I'm not used to this. All right. it's wartime. You know, that was a really fun bout. Really got rocked by a kick in that one, and you'll notice if you watch it on IWTV. But yeah, it was a pretty fun time. And I guess honorable mention, I'll say a match I had with Sam Beal recently. He's recently been on Impact Wrestling, courtesy of his trainer Trey Miguel, getting him on and he's doing his thing. He's a really young star in this game. Has a great mind for wrestling. Really looking forward to see what he does. But yeah, you know, working with him at Wrestling Theology Fellowship in Indiana, really fun experience.
That's really cool, dude. Really cool.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about Arthur MacArthur, because you've been him for a couple years now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was your first character. Tell me how he's grown and how he's changed over the years.
Oh, man. Well, he's gone through dips and, you know, different things. Like, so starting off, you know, when I first started off, I was a little bit pudgier, a little fatter, I'd say. Yeah. I had that one stripe, candy cane stripe single you saw in that match.
That was so, it's so great. And the theme song, like the circus theme song, like after I finished, like I was walking in my kitchen singing the song.
Yeah, I stopped using that song after like two appearances, honestly.
So great, I loved it.
Yeah, it's a good, yeah, it fit, you know. I've used it before again, but it's like, yeah, you know, I started off like that, you know. I was trying all these weird intricate moves and it just doesn't really gel, you know. As I've grown, you know, there was one time when I was skinnier, I had gone on a binge of not eating carbs, which was actually a mistake, but that's whole other discussion. And I was pretty skinny, but I wasn't really able to, you know, I wasn't as strong as I was, and I had to find the right balance to, you know, not be bloated, but at the same time, you know, look the part and be the part. Obviously, I had gotten, you know, different gear, you know, professionally made, because that first singlet, I'm not going to bullshit you, I got that off of some store. It was just like some costume, honestly. It was like 50 bucks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That was not a professionally made singlet. I mean, it was, but not like for wrestling, per se.
Right.
I had started getting custom made gear through this gal for No Gimmick Gear in New York. Yeah. And she made these really intricate cheetah print and the snow leopard gear I got going on for me now. Recently I changed my entrance song. I used to come out to the Can-Can song. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, I need something more 20s bass, you know, something that's really vibing. So I come out to this like jazzy song. It's actually from the what's it called? Soundtrack from Fallout, you know, for some of those fans who might recognize it when they hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd say Arthur as a character has grown. He's got the prop now. He's got that dumbbell, which is actually vintage and authentic. You know, some people think it's like a prop and they'll try to move it. It's like, bro, that's actually a lot of weight.
Right.
Yeah. And I've been using that, you know, more trying to do the little things, make it matter, get these crowds behind me. Cause I feel like when you first start off, you want to, plan a match and do all these moves. That's like, yeah, that's cool. But you gotta, you know your time and place and know how to make these people give a shit about you.
Exactly. Sorry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is what it is, but yeah, overall I'd say just through constant training and staying at it, you know, learning, watching matches, studying matches, you know, not falling into the trap of wanting to be a gift wrestler. It's little things like that, which I think have helped me grow, you know, especially as a character.
Yeah. Where do you want to take the character of Arthur MacArthur?
Man, I want to take it as far as it can go, you know. Yeah. I'd like to... Obviously, I've got some new gear being made, which is even more authentic, which I'm still waiting on. But, you know, patience, you know, you can't rush at perfection, I'd say. As far as where I want to take it, I want to get, like, some real, more vintage props, I could say. I want to be able to take this character on a level to the point where I could do even less moves, but still come out and look real strong, per se. Yeah. Eventually, I feel like it would be cool to deviate away and try different things, reinvent myself. You know, because I don't want to be stuck doing the same thing for 20 years, per se. Some people can do it, but hey, even Hulk Hogan had a change at one point, am I right?
Yeah, Chris Jericho's changed like 14 times now.
Yeah, for sure. He's kind of like the guy to learn from when it comes to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but as far as like where I want to take Arthur, I guess just until I sharpen the sword to where I want it to be, I'm kind of going to ride it out till I can't no more.
I gotcha. Well, that's cool, dude. I dig it.
Yep.
So you have wrestled in front of a smoke shop. I know you've only been wrestling 2 years, but I want you to tell me the most unique place that you've ever wrestled.
Unique place I've ever wrestled. Okay, well, that's definitely up there for one. During the summer of COVID, when things weren't really happening, we had reached out to this promotion, Horror Slam, out near the Detroit area, you know, get some reps in and, you know, stay active while everything else was shut down.
Yeah.
So we'd be wrestling in these people's backyards, and you might be thinking, oh, this is some backyard or stuff. Sorry. And, but it wasn't like backyarder type of wrestling. We had like the ring, we had trained workers and all that. But yeah, working in people's next to their garages and their driveways, you know, having actual fans, though, it was a weird experience to say the least.
Yeah, but at least you got to wrestle in front of people. Like, over this last year, I've interviewed so many people that are just itching to get back in the ring, and at least you were able to still continue to do it. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to me to think, you know, obviously every state is different, you know, especially maybe like California or wherever, but I think you're based out of Florida.
Yeah, we're probably one of the most open states in the country.
For sure. I was just down there in Tampa for Mania weekend, and I saw.
For better or for worse, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it is what it is. But it is crazy to me how so many people are like saying, oh, wrestling is gone, I can't do bookings. Well, it's like, I don't know, man. I'm seeing a lot of these promotions out. You just kind of have to go to them. Obviously, a lot aren't running that right now, but the opportunity is there. You just kind of have to find it and, you know, hope you can strike gold. It is tricky, though, right now. I've been blessed to, you know, find work.
That's really cool, man. I'm proud for you. That's great. So you haven't been wrestling that long. Have you been able to work as both a babyface and a heel?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I like. One of the things I think I can say I'm proud of when it comes to me in wrestling. I can kind of work both roles.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me that my character should only be a babyface, and honestly, I disagree. I almost think it should only be heel sometimes. Yeah. What's it called? Yeah, I've been working, you know, heel a lot lately. You know, I think me as this character could be really obnoxious to some, and that's good to me. So I really try to egg on that and just be as cocky and arrogant as possible. I think it's easier to do, I'd say. I enjoy doing it, but I like being babyface because, you know, I like being cheered for it.
Of course, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. And, you know,
to your head, you got to pick one, though. Which one are you going for?
I think I just stay all-time heel.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is it because... So I get that answer a lot. Is it because you can control the match a little better, or do you just really like riling up the crowd? Like, what's the
It gives you a lot of freedom. You can kind of do and say whatever you want, per se, within, you know, reason. Like, if I'm a babyface, I can't be, you know, insulting anybody. I'm kind of limited. I have to be someone to look up to. I need to, you know, have sympathy, this, that. As a heel, I could just let loose, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, control the flow of the match. You know, I've had to work some people who are even less experienced than me, and I gotta tell them, hey, time to do this, time to do that, you know, just little things like that. And being a heel, it's just fun, man, just to say the least.
That's great.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So tell me who your role models are. It can be either in the industry or just in your life.
Oh, role models. Well, I guess for starters, you know, you got guys in AIW like my trainer, my primary trainer, which would be Dominic Guarini. You know, he's a MLW fame right now. Now Vice TV star Dominic Guarini. I know,
right? That's great.
Yeah. One half of Violence is Forever. I'm sure you heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dom, he's, you know, I like to razz the guy up a lot, you know, but, you know, deep down, it's like he's really helped me out, you know, set me up for success, you know, through everything. And I'm proud to call him my trainer and display it everywhere. You got guys like Derek Dillinger, formerly known as Derek Direction. He helped train a little bit. You know, I always reach out to him. He's always been, you know, there for me as well. Gave me a lot of ideas for me to utilize. As far as another role model, like people I don't actually know, the one role model I think, probably one of the best in the world, I think, is a good old Cesaro.
He's to so Claudio good.
Castagnoli to some
oh
people.
My gosh.
Yeah, you know,
so incredible.
Yeah, had a great match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, watching some of his stuff from before, he's a legitimately strong dude, really has that great ring prowess, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, his stuff is so good. And like, I've been a fan of his for a long, long time. And it's just so nice to see him finally get his singles due. And I hope that it continues. We'll see.
For sure.
I hope that it does, because he's such a talented guy.
Absolutely. So,
if you can make a recommendation or give any tips to someone that wants to pursue a wrestling career, what recommendations would those be?
Oh boy. I kind of figured you'd ask this. All right, good. Good thing I'm ready. Okay. Number one, absolutely number one, if you're looking for training, make sure you're going to a school that's, you know, reputable, has a solid, experienced person behind it. You know, before I had joined AIW, I saw that Johnny Gargano, as y'all love him down there in Florida, obviously.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Yeah, good old Johnny Cleveland, he used to be. Yeah, he used to run the AIW Academy. He actually trained Dominic Guarini. Cool. And I had seen that, you know, that Dom was trained by him, and Dom was making waves in the indie scene. So, yeah, reputable trainer. You know, you can't just go to Uncle Bob's, you know, wrestling factory. Yeah, you know. You know.
No, I understand what you're saying. Like, even on Jericho's podcast, he said that he can, if someone asks him, or before he even sees someone work, if he knows who their trainer is, he can tell you if they're going to be good or not.
For sure, you know, and I won't bury nobody or any association, but there are schools that I've seen, you know, whether they're far or close, wherever, and they have some disreputable people, you know, running it, and then they put them as their trainer. I'm like, oh man, you know, we've had guys come up to AIW, you know, they've actually moved sometimes. They want to get that training that they saw we're getting. You know, because I will say the one thing that's great about AIW and being from there is people will know who our trainer is. Like you said, Jericho knows. Yeah. They'll know that we were trained by AIW, so they kind of have that assumption that we're good, per se. But yeah, you know, reputable school. Definitely, you got to be coachable.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, this is a hard thing to get good at, you know? And people come into wrestling thinking they know what they're going to get into, and you really don't, you know? I'm still learning to this day. I almost still feel like a trainee, even though I'm like an active performer, you know, catching a little bit of steam here and there.
Yeah.
You know, I got to stay a student of the game. As far as, let's see, advice for, okay, for one, get in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be going in there. I love seeing these guys who are like, oh, I want to be a big man, and they're just fat. Like,
right.
Like, no, you got to have some power or some meat behind those them bones, man.
Yeah.
For one, you got to be willing to, you know, pay your dues and eat crap for a little bit, you know, because when I first debuted, you know, there wasn't a lot of bookings like, hey, come on down here. Come on down. We're ready for you. Like, you got to kind of reach out for it. Sometimes you got to travel with a car, have an empty seat, you know, go out and help out, make connections. That's really the best advice I'd say is to make it and to get more bookings. You got to just know the right people, meet the right people, and rub people the right way, per se. Be a good person. You know, I can't tell you how many people I know who are great workers, but they're just awful people and just don't have, you know, the right courtesy for some. And it rubs people the wrong way, and promoters think otherwise of booking them.
Yeah.
And the last piece of advice I'd give to any trainee, and any train, what's the last piece of advice I'd give? Oh, yeah. Focus more, you know, on the basics before you do any great spots and everything. Like, even for someone like me, like, you won't see me doing a lot of, you know, crazy headlocks and I do headlocks. What am I saying? You won't see me doing a bunch of like Hurricane Ranas, no destroyers, you know, all these crazy hot spots, you know. Just learn the basics. Like, I've seen guys who are doing all these crazy moves, but when it comes time for them to do a headlock, their footwork is all wrong, or they're not doing a roll properly. They're not doing these very basic arm drags properly, and it's just not good. You know, you got to have that foundation, and that's pretty much all I got, you know. Repetition, and just keep training when you can.
It's interesting to me that you mentioned, you know, getting the back of the basics, and I think that's something that's really lacking in wrestling as a whole today. I was talking to my two co-hosts, and I was putting forth the idea that Ricochet should sign with AEW, and they said, why? And I said, well, he's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, and he's being wasted on WWE TV because he's not even on it. And they said, yeah, but AEW has 100 Ricochets. What they don't have is they have FTR and a small handful of old school wrestlers, but they have 100 Ricochets. And that really stood out to me because I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
So I think you saying that it's a really, really good tip.
Yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't think about.
And there's only so many spots, you know.
Right.
I think the man's happy to be being paid right now, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a little upset that he's not being utilized to his full potential, but yeah, man, there's only so many spots. Like, it's not like a charity. We're like, oh, we feel bad for this guy, so we're going to let him wrestle a bunch. You know,
right.
you know, there's some guys who are just happy to be there. But,
yeah.
You know, who knows what they actually think.
Yeah, it's hard. You never know until they quit and they get on Jericho's podcast and they tell you everything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Or now Renee Paquette, I guess.
Oops.
Yeah. So tell me, in the match that I watched against Eric Taylor, you did this, like, it was like a gory special into a Sister Abigail. It's the only way I know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And is that your finisher? Because it's such a cool move. I don't know if I've ever seen it before.
That's actually based off of Brian Cage's Weapon X move.
Okay.
Yeah. I've only done that a handful of times. It's a really hard move to do because it really requires the other guy to be flexible.
Right.
Like, I've only done it successfully to two people, actually, both Bitcoin boys.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, Mikey Montgomery, like, I did it to him all the time because he was the best at taking. He's so small, flexible, and athletic, so he could just, you know. And I tried to do it on someone once who was, I'll just say, not that athletic looking. And I was just overconfident in myself that I could do this. And she she fell, and it was a disaster. I'm just like, oh God, it was awkward. So I had to, cover it up. But yeah, it's a hard move to really get down. It is in my back pocket for because I have a few set moves I will do in a match to build around. Yeah. But if I have something really long planned, I have that in my back pocket for the right person. It is a pretty solid move, though. It does get a good reaction when I can bust it out. But yeah.
That's really cool. And it is, it's very similar to Weapon X, actually. I totally 1000% forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's pretty cool. If you could wrestle anyone from any point in wrestling history, I want you to tell me who it would be and why.
Oof. Yeah, that's a new one. Any wrestler, any time.
Yeah.
It might sound crazy, but I think wrestling with Hulk Hogan would be back in his early Hulkamania days, that could be something. A clash of characters, because that guy, regardless of how you feel about him now or whatever, that guy could work. The guy had a crowd bumping and going wild nonstop.
Yeah.
And he just kind of knew how to work. And that's one of the best things about him, because the guy could wrestle, but he didn't need to. Everyone knows that. Other than him, I guess working with The Rock would be really great.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Like just a real charismatic fellow is what I'd really love to be, squared off against.
I'd like to see Arthur MacArthur versus Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks.
If I can take someone from the modern day, then that'd be a fun match.
I think that'd be fun. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Let's make it happen at Tony Khan on AEW Dark. Let's
do
it. All right. So I want you to give me a cool wrestling story. And it could be, as a fan. It could be in the ring, a travel story, whatever you want. Give me something that's entertaining. Peel the curtain back a little bit for us.
Cool wrestling story. I've got a lot of them, but okay, I'll throw this one out there because I have never really talked about it too much. So Ultimo Dragon had actually came to AIW for a show once for an appearance, and I got to be his driver for that day. I was still a student, so I was driving around, and getting to talk to the guy, explaining things. It was a really great experience, seeing him unmasked, which not many people get the privilege of seeing.
Yeah.
He's, it's not that exciting, but he, but no, driving him around, just picking his brain, talking to the guy, it's wild to me because I actually thought he was pretty solid back, in 2003, 2004 when he was with WWE, didn't really know too much about him until I looked more into him. Like, this dude's like an all timer. Just never got his flowers, I think.
Yeah.
Ultimo, and it's funny because we were driving through Cleveland and we were driving through a rough part. I'll just say that. And he's just like, oh, why are these houses look so old? I'm just trying to sit here and explain how do I explain to this guy who's, obviously lives in Japan and explain to him why our city's infrastructure is just so rough. And I just came up with the answer. It's just the style they like to go for around here, man. And in all reality, I didn't want to scare him because the venue was kind of in that neighborhood.
Mr. Dragon, it is just an old part of town, man. Don't you worry about it.
He's a solid guy. Real courteous, Ultimo Dragon, hey, maybe I'd like to wrestle him someday, but you never know. Yeah. He's a solid dude.
That's really cool. That's really cool to hear.
Yeah.
So where can we see you wrestle now? I know you're still, you're back on it, right? Full time. There's no pause because of COVID. We are back in business, right?
Yeah, for sure. Really only had a break of wrestling for a few months back when COVID was really hot. Yeah. But as far as where you can see me right now, let me pull up this schedule here. Okay, we... coming up this Saturday, I'll be in Erie, Michigan for Ruthless Professional Wrestling. I'm working in the scramble match. a Ruthless Pro Wrestling out of Toledo, Ohio. They're kind of on the rise. They're still kind of freshly new, but they're picking up some steam. Their last few shows are on IWTV. I was kind of on their first and second show, so they're working on it. I think they have some potential, you know, going down in the future. Next week, the 29th and 30th, AIW is back at the Odeon in Cleveland. It's a mystery card, those 2 days for AIW will be there. Debuting for Emerge in May, that's yet to be announced. Maybe I just spoiled it here, but yeah, Emerge, you'll see me there. I've been a regular for Flophouse Wrestling, who just had their Mania show in Florida. And Flophouse is, if you haven't checked it out on IWTV, it's an interesting show, to say the least. It's a lot of fun, though, I will say.
Now, when you came down here for WrestleMania weekend, did you get to perform?
Yeah, just the one show for Flophouse. It was like a 20-man scramble, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Yeah,
I love multi-man matches. So, like, was it like a championship scramble type of match?
No. So this was like an invitational elimination scramble deal. It was nuts, to say the least.
Sounds nuts.
Yeah, and you know, it was unfortunate because we had actually pushed back the time of the show. You know, we considered because of the light and everything, because the way the venue, because we were outdoors, of course, and we weren't sure how the light would be, so we pushed it back, and not enough fans really got the memo. So we were like the second or third match to be out there, so there wasn't a lot of fans at the time. They didn't really start coming in until the actual bell time that was, you know, announced.
Yeah.
So it was what it was. But yeah, man, 20 people, something like that, you just don't really plan. You kind of go out there and figure it out and talk with different people. You just know who the final few people are and go from there.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Made, you know, I had my nice WrestleMania moment, I guess you could say, because the ring actually broke mid-match.
What?
Well, the rope broke, I should say. The top rope. Kind of the most important one, you know? So I grabbed that turnbuckle, and I start loosening the thing. I'm like, oh, don't worry, I got this, guys. I'm the strongest man, all that stuff. And I just hooked it back up, and I got a big pop.
That's amazing.
Yeah, dude, it was kind of Artie's first Mania moment. It was pretty funny for what it was, you know? Yeah, I enjoyed Tampa. I don't know. What do you got? At Jacksonville? I saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how far away that is, but
a couple hours. We're in Northeast Florida.
Okay. Yeah. But you know, I enjoyed my time in Tampa. I'd love to go back when I have a lot more time, because I was only there for like 2.5 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tampa. It's a good time.
Yeah, Tampa's a really fun city. There's a lot of cool things to do there. You should go to Busch Gardens next time you're there.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. I really wanted to go to Disney again. I've been there so many times, but this wasn't the right time.
Yeah, I understand. I gotcha.
Yep.
Well, you have some social media. Tell us how we can follow you.
For sure. If you want to follow me on Twitter, which I really would love some more followers, even though I got a helping size. I got on Twitter, you got Strong MacArthur. That's where you can find me, at Strong MacArthur. If you find the guy with the black and white photo, you've gone to the right place. Instagram, you found me, of course. You got me at Arthur_MacArthur. It's really hard to like get a social media tag with my name with, you know, that one musical producer.
Uh-huh.
Yep, there's your follow. Okay, on Facebook, I do have a page, but I don't really check it because it's just the algorithm sucks for pages if you don't pay money. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm not paying money for that.
No, me neither.
Yeah. Let me see. So I have a profile, Arthur MacArthur. You can just find me, add me. I'll probably accept you as long as you don't have title belts in your profile picture. Because, you know, dude, these people will just harass you. Like, hey, you want to buy some custom belts? Like, no. I get some funky messages from some people, and like, I'm gonna be straight up. Like, if you're a fan listening for the first time and you just send me a hello, hi, I'm just not gonna respond. I'm just not that open for everybody, you know. I don't know, man. It's it's not to be mean. It's just like if there's a bunch of people who will match me, I can't handle all these people. I can barely handle the people in my life.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm telling
for
you.
Sure. But you know, I'll respond to a couple. Like some people, like, hey, I saw your match. It was great. I'll be like, oh, thanks, bud.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But that's as far as it goes for, you know, social media is for me.
Tell me about your merch. I know I found a pro wrestling tee store and I checked your Instagram and I saw you had a shirt that was like a parody of the old cartoon Arthur, which is so amazing.
Tell
me where we can find that stuff.
For sure. You know, I really wanted to print that shirt, but it's really pricey because there's a lot of colors.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. So I'm right now, that's an exclusive. I actually have a new shirt I'm printing. I'm picking it up tomorrow at noon.
Okay.
That's a surprise. But if you want to find my merch, you're not at my merch table. I have a Big Cartel store, Arthur MacArthur, I believe. Yeah, Big Cartel. That's where I have to mail it to you. It's a whole thing. If you want to just straight up order some of these exclusive shirts, you can find them at Pro Wrestling Tees. I do have an account there. I also have an account for Brainbuster Tees, which you can find different types of garments, you know, hoodies, sweatpants, you know, face masks of all things. And I low-key think it's a little bit better. But, yeah, okay. That's where you can find my merch if you're not there at a merch table.
That's cool, dude. That's awesome. So you're basically what I'm hearing you say is you got stuff all over the place.
Little bit, you know. I like to, you know, because not everyone wants to use pro wrestling tees because they're custom shirts or whatever, which is fine. Yeah. I get it. So I just want to, you know, appeal to as many people as I can.
Yeah. No, I totally understand, dude. I got you. Well, listen, man. I know we've been chatting for a little while, and I really do appreciate you taking time out of your day and going. You're hustling, dude. You are going to wrestling class and then coming home, doing a podcast, advertising yourself. I think it's great. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks so much. We very much appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging out with us. Remember to hashtag support indie wrestling. Make sure to follow Arthur. Buy some merch. Follow me at WrestleLifeMatt on Instagram and Twitter. And all of us at Wrestle Life Radio on Instagram and Facebook and Wrestle Life Pod on Twitter. And we hope you all have an absolutely wonderful day.